presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
New Year's resolutions, who's made one? Or two or three? A few people, yeah. But I want to talk about, you know, how our New Year's resolutions often get lost. Yep. Matthew made his public on Facebook. I wanted to read your post out because I thought it was quite amusing. I can't remember what it was. Yeah, we always say we're going to start new things, we're going to try new things. It's a fresh new year. What's going to happen? We always have such great intentions and they get lost very quickly. I have become a person who doesn't make New Year's resolutions anymore because, yeah. I must do it every day. I'm going to go for a walk tomorrow. I'm going to go for a walk tomorrow. And then I don't. But part of my, here's my relatable story. Part of my problem of not going for a walk is that I'm very sad because my dog died. It doesn't feel like it was very long ago, but it was probably 4 or 5 months ago. So I don't want, I used to go walking with her. So now I have to find a different routine, but my walk was out bush and then my walk was my prayer with God. So now I have to still work out how to do that without my dog. And then Amy, who's now gone back to Adelaide and has decided to stay there for another year. Boo-hoo. She used to always go walking with me too, so Katie's not so interested in walks. And Caleb went for a walk with me yesterday. He was a good husband yesterday. He went for a walk with me on the beach. But we always kind of lose our New Year's resolutions, or the thing we say, we're going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, right? But what I usually like to do is I usually like to spend some time with God somewhere in the beginning of the year, and I like to ask the Holy Spirit what he wants for my year ahead. And I find that that is where I find my foundation, not in going for more walks or, you know, eating better, you know, which I probably should do. Seeming Coke and chocolate are a standard daily intake. Don't judge me, all right? So, yeah, I usually go to God and I usually ask him what he wants for me. You know, but maybe that's not something that you do. Maybe it's something you want to adopt. Is learning to listen to the Holy Spirit and finding out what does he want for your year. And it's not usually something, you know, God, I don't find that God usually comes along and says, okay, right, Gary, you need to lose 2 kilos, or, you know, you need to stop drinking Coke. Like, I don't feel that in that time with the Holy Spirit, that's usually what it is. It's usually about foundational stuff. Like, you know, last year it was, I felt like God said he was my rock. And so I was like, yes, like cling to that. God is my rock. He is my foundation. And that's what got me through the year. That's what got me through the year. You know, so stuff like that. So what I want to talk about is reaching your potential in Jesus when it comes to either finding out what the Holy Spirit wants for you in the year, or whether you're making New Year's resolutions and you feel that it's like God's steps. However you want to word it, I want to talk about reaching your potential. We're going to reach our potential. There are always these pushbacks and there are always these barriers. And there's a couple of things that kind of come with that. Ourselves. Our will and mind. If you have your Bible, you can look this up or you can read it from here if you like. Paul talks about his own struggles. Now, this is a hard piece of scripture to read because it feels like you get tongue-tied. So I'm going to try my best. So we're going to Romans 7, verse 15 to 20. Are you with me, sword of the Lord? Getting there? Romans 7, chapter 7. Okay, I'm going to try this. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that it is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. Like I said, tongue tie, right? This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Oh, that was a hard scripture to read. Thank you. We are sometimes our own enemy, aren't we? Because we have this will within ourselves, and we have sin that is this sin nature that wants to sort of just do what we want to do. I want to eat chocolate, so I will. Lynn is with me. Lynn and I are going to eat chocolate together. Actually, yes, at board meetings we do bring chocolate, don't we? Do I need to explain that any further? I think you know, don't you? You know, like when we go, okay, here's my new year's resolution. This is what God wants me to do. And then we just, that's too hard. Maybe later. I'll try tomorrow. dear. I'm too tired. Whatever. I was supposed to go for a walk this morning when I got up. I was so tired. I didn't, you know, like I did it this morning. Like, yeah. Then there's this other challenge, this other barrier we have. It is Satan. We live in this world. Let's read this scripture, Ephesians 6:12. If you want to find it in your Bibles, I'm giving time for you to find it. So someone has to say, sword of the Lord. Okay. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Satan will often want to take advantage of us, and he'll want to try to change our mindsets. We live in this spiritual world where he seems to sometimes have more authority than Jesus because we let him sometimes. But what I really want to like talk about here is how you can reach your potential and how you can stand up against what Satan has to throw at you. And this is the stuff that I feel like I hope that you're going to really relate to, because if you're not, I'll be out on my own. Right? I want to share with you today some of the tactics of the enemy and what he's going to do to try to stop you from reaching your potential. And if you have pen and paper with you, maybe you don't. I was supposed to have pre-organized that, but I haven't. Put some paper and pen out. Maybe you got your phone. Maybe you want to get your notes section up on your phone. I'm going to ask you a question before I go into some of these tactics of the enemy. It is, are you ready? You can write the question down if you want, or you can just be prepared for the answer. I'm going to give you an account to 30 in my head, right, to give you some time, and it will be this uncomfortable silence. Are you all okay with that? Okay, all right. Some people aren't okay with uncomfortable silences. So the question is, what is holding you back? How are you going with answering that question? Easy? Hard? Hard? First thing that comes to mind if I ask you that question, don't think about the question too hard. What is holding you back? All right, now you've written some of those things down. I want you to keep those in mind as we keep talking about some of this stuff. The enemy has so many different tactics that he uses to hold you back. And often these will be in your mind, in your thinking, or it could be other people around you. I feel like God gave me 3 D's. D for the enemy, because he has to fail. But it's not really. These are 3 things that he uses. The first one is discouragement. Oh, I can attest to this one. As soon as I started talking about this message, when I was talking it through with Caleb, that was it. My thoughts after that just started to spiral. What's the point? There's probably nobody going to be at church anyway. Why am I even doing this? No one probably even listens. No one probably cares. Like, you name it. You know, I'm putting myself down. I'm going there. He uses our insecurities against us. This is just like happened just over the music practices. BB and Matthew were here for some of it, and Katie. And it's like, maybe I'm not that good at playing. Maybe I shouldn't be playing the keyboard. Other people should be doing it. I'm probably the worst keyboard player in that church. I don't think I'm the only one who kind of comes along with these insecurities and starts to spiral downwards. Are you willing to put your hand up and say that you're also one of these people? Do you know what? Like, sometimes just a simple joke from somebody else that could have a simple, like, this undertone of discouragement to you, and that's it. The seed is planted. And you spiral. Someone might just tell you, you might be so excited about an idea. Josh and I get this because we're like the, come on, let's go people, right? And Joe. And someone just starts to just, pull it down, pull it to pieces. But like, they're the things that sometimes just bring us discouragement, right? Like they pull us down. All of a sudden you're about to do something. Can you remember a past failure? Your past failures just come back. Boom. Right there, gonna stop you. Or you try something, like one of those New Year's resolutions, and either you don't do it or you fail miserably, or you do it once and then you fail, and so it's just too hard. Discouragement. It's just too hard. What's the point? Why bother? I made a mistake. Which equals failure, which equals don't bother. That's the first D. Wonder if anything on your list of things that are holding you back have a hint of discouragement to them. Disillusionment. I think one of the biggest things that we have in our world right now is that disillusionment with our country, or with, might be with, America. Just, what's the point? It's there again. Why do we bother? People are going to think the worst of me anyway. The world is messed up. What's the point in trying? One that we hear often about churches is, well, everyone in the church is a hypocrite. So why bother going? And I'll say, well, yeah, we probably all are. who is perfect? You're supposed to have the answer to that. Jesus, thank you, Josh. Who is perfect? Jesus. The only person who's perfect is Jesus. This disillusionment, this tactic of the enemy, he will come and he'll get your Bible verses out and he will twist them. He will make them work for him, not for you. He tried to do it to Jesus when he tempted Jesus in the desert. You can get that out and read that. And Jesus used scripture in temptation when Satan was tempting him. And Satan used it right back at him. What did Jesus do? He used the word of the Lord and he stuck his, firm, stuck to his word. So it can make it really difficult to build on our goals, like reading our Bible, if you have one of those goals. Because, we kind of get this, it's too hard to read, or I don't understand this, or what's the point, all of those thoughts kind of come in, that disillusionment. When you're building relationships, which is what Jesus wants us to do, to build good relationships with each other, and, that person might hurt your feelings or something happens, and, you're just disillusioned about relationships and people, and so you just stay away from them. That's easier, right? So, the next D word, my third D word, is division. He will try very, very hard to divide households. And there's scriptures to, back that up. You can go find them. I didn't reference them today. But he will try to divide our households. He will try to create arguments and he'll try to bring destruction to relationships. So if someone hurts you, you decide just to distance yourself from them so you can't get hurt anymore. There's no point in sorting things out. We have a need to tell other people about what that other person did. It's a few giggles. We start to bring in what Satan wants, division. As soon as we start talking about somebody behind their back, as soon as we start saying, well, you don't know what they did, you don't know who they really are. A lot of this can also, happens in families. So not just church families, but also your biological family. There will be conflicts. He's going to try to destroy families and destroy relationships. There is a point, though, I have to do my disclaimer as the counsellor that I am, that if anybody is experiencing abuse, we do need to draw a line there and we do need to move away from relationships that are abusive and that are hurtful to us, because Jesus doesn't want us to be in abusive relationships. Okay, got that one? There's my disclaimer. Yep. But Jesus wants us to be together. He wants us to be family. He wants us to be connected. And so maybe in your New Year's resolutions, maybe there's some stuff about being about connectedness. Maybe it's about coming to church more often, or maybe it's about, visiting parents or I don't know, certain family things. And he's going to come and he's going to try to pull that down, and he's going to try to bring division. We have to be very careful what we listen to, don't we? I'm just going to say the word gossip, and then I'm going to move on and leave that one there. If you're trying to grow in God and follow his heart and will for your life, we need to start not listening to those things that Satan is bringing to us. Because every time you work towards the next thing, whether that be reading your Bible to exercising, he's going to remind you of the problems you have with people. And that will mean you'll spiral into some sinking thinking, which is the best motivation killer. I know that if I'm annoyed with somebody and I'm replaying that in my head and I'm going over and over and over and over and that, I don't really want to go for a walk. I might just want to go and open the cupboard and, you know, get out some more chocolate. Thanks, Lynn. But underlying all of these D words is one thing that Satan brings, and that is fear. If he can have us fearing relationships, if he can have us being discouraged and being fearful of doing new things and, you know, reaching out into new places, he's going to bring fear into that space. And it's up to us whether we're going to entertain that or not. If he can get us to doubt as well, although there's another D word. All right, there's four D words, all right? Another one's came. But you have to have 3 points in a sermon. I mean, it's not a sermon, that was a message, right? Ah, dear. Okay. If he can get us to doubt and fear and lay aside any new decision we've made or any word that we feel like we've heard from the Lord, he's going to do that. The enemy's biggest fight against Christians and the church is to make us lukewarm. Now, you know, there is that scripture where God says, you know, I put it here somewhere, but it's somewhere else. If you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I want you to be hot or cold in Revelation, that one. Yeah, some of you are nodding, some of you know that one. I kind of like to drink lukewarm coffee. So, you know, like for this isn't a very good example for me, but, you know, some of you might really, really like hot coffee. Joy's like nodding, yeah. Any coffee? dear. So, he wants us to be fiery. Like we sang today. He wants us to have, you know, the fire, like a fire. Shut up in my bones. I want the world to know that he lives. Now, I'm going a little bit off track from my notes, but in my mind, it was like I'm thinking of how we live in this spiritual world, which we just said, it's not a fight against flesh and blood, but, you know, but we live in this spiritual world, and so there are spiritual things happening around us. There are angels, there's, you know, there's God's power, there's whatever he's doing around us. And I think about the fire in a spiritual sense, and I think about that fire that's actually on us. You know, like Moses when he went to the burning bush, that didn't burn up, the bush didn't burn up. The fire of God. When we are on fire, we don't burn up, but the enemy does if he comes near us. Ah, I like that one. All right, if we dwell in fear for long enough and it takes root in our thought processes, then we're going to live in that fear, aren't we? So that what is holding you back question, come back to that. Are there fears there? Some of those things that are holding you back, are they fears? It's, you know, fear of losing, fear of failure, fear of death, fear of being sick, fear of being poor, having no money. The decisions that we make for the new year need to be made out of the mind of Christ. We need to come to the Holy Spirit and ask him for what he wants for us for the year. And trust in the Lord. Shall we say this one together? Or if you know the song, you can sing it. There's lots of versions of the song. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. These guys are singing a song. When we trust in him, he makes our path straight. When we lean on him and we go to him and we're on fire for him, Satan has less power to move in your mind. So the next question I have, how stubborn are you? Are you too stubborn? Are you not enough stubborn? You're like, where are you going with this, Kerry? Where are you going with this? I ask this question, and I want you to answer it for yourself, and as we talk about this a little bit more, you know, like, are you ready to fight back what the enemy is telling you? Are you going to be just enough stubborn to fight back what he's telling you? I am standing here sharing this message, even though I had spiraling thoughts, thinking about sharing, because I decided to be stubborn enough to not listen to what he had to say to me. We sin all the time. Our human nature can lead us into temptation. I do what I do not want to do. Yeah, that scripture. But when we have Jesus in us, we have Jesus' nature. And so we have the power to come against what the enemy is throwing at us. We're made in his likeness. Isn't that so cool? God sent his son Jesus to walk on the earth, to be like man but perfect because he was God, to show us how it can be done. And when we take on the nature of Jesus and we learn from him, we become more like him, which means we become less like our own will becomes less and it becomes the will of God. He came to bring us grace. And so that means that we can love unconditionally. That means that we can come against some of those division things, you know, when we have a problem with somebody because they've hurt us. He's given us grace to be able to love unconditionally and to forgive. In this space, in being stubborn, this is when I want you to dig your heels in and be stubborn. It's in this scripture, Philippians 6:8, in your thinking. Are you going to listen to truth or are you going to listen to lies? So Philippians 6:8, I'm going to read this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If you want to tackle your sinking thinking, this scripture up in your house. On the back of your toilet door or your wall. Be reminded. Think about these things, whatever is true. Because the enemy is a liar. He is a thief and a liar, and he's out to kill and steal and destroy. In taking on some stubbornness, if you don't have enough and you need some more, you know, is it going to come through pushing through some of the things that are really hard? Is it going to come through pushing through reading your Bible? Now, I understand that reading is sometimes really hard for people. So what are you going to do to solve that problem? That's what I say to my kids. That is a problem. Can't find something, because that's a problem. What are you going to do about that? If you are struggling to read, what are you going to do? Maybe you are going to get some podcasts. Get an app on your phone. Listen to some stuff. Maybe join with some other people and read some stuff out loud together and talk about it. This is where we need to dig our heels in, because I know, I'm the first person to say that I can sit down and read my Bible and I am thinking about what I'm going to do today. I probably err on having an ADHD side of like my brain. Now I know more about ADHD. And it goes over here instead of here. And I know I've gone through burnout, I've gone through depression, I've gone through anxiety in my life. I know what it means to sit there and to read it, and it means nothing. But there's nothing that comes from it, that it's dead. And you're like, oh God, this is supposed to mean so much to me. And know what those seasons in our life are like. But also know the seasons of pushing through. I've told it probably many a times, and some of you might be like, oh, this is boring, I've heard you say that before. But one of my biggest times of depression, when I just had absolutely nothing left, I pulled out the book of Psalms, because I know that the book of Psalms does lots of woe is me, right? Poor me. Maybe if I read this will help me. And I just decided in my head that I am going to read the first verse of Psalm 1 until it means something to me, until God reveals something in it to me. And so I read Psalm 1:1 over and over and over again every single day until it meant something to me. And eventually it did, because our God is a good God, because he meets us where we're at. And then I'm like, right, verse 2. And I didn't move on until I'd tackled verse 2. And that's how I pushed through some of the depression that I had. Stubbornness. I can be stubborn. Are you going to continue to push through reading your Bible? Are you going to continue to push through acts of worship? Maybe some of your New Year's resolutions or what God has been speaking to you about are acts of worship. Maybe they are some things like giving some money to certain areas, to certain charities, or to certain things. Maybe, you know, because we talk about worship is in songs, but worship is more than that. Worship is our sacrifice to Jesus. You know, maybe you felt like he's asked you to fast, and there's a short-term fasting period that he might be asking you to do. Maybe he's just asking you to be nice to your next-door neighbor, whether that's the person sitting next to you today or or your actual physical next-door neighbor or the person in the street or the person at the shopping center. Or, you know, when he calls you to do something and you obey him, that's an act of worship. And praying. You know, this can be difficult too, can't it? And we all have different ideas on praying. I was talking to someone this week and I was just like, praying doesn't have to be a completely holy, reverent thing where we have like there's nothing else going on and it's just me and God. And if that was me praying, I wouldn't pray a lot. But prayer is our everyday relationship with God. If you're going to text your friend, what would you text Jesus? You know, like just talking to him. If you were just going to call up your friend Jesus, what would you say to him? He's sent us the Holy Spirit, who is our counselor. He's an amazing God who's there for us all the time. And so when we come and bring everything to him, which I think is actually the first part of that Philippians 6, maybe, bring everything to him in thanksgiving. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he... Do not be anxious. Petition. Prayer. Present it to God. We've mentioned many a times, if you're angry, he's a big God. He can handle your anger. He can handle your sadness and your tears. He actually says, I've mentioned this many times too, he collects our tears. There is a scripture for that. That's not in this sermon. That was in one of the others I've preached before, though, hey? Are you going to push towards bringing peace into brokenness? Are there relationships that are broken that need peace? Is it that you need to be the peacemaker, or is it that maybe you need to step away from that because of the abuse? Then that brings peace into your life. But more than anything, I really want to just talk about the peace that God wants within families, within church families and within biological families. He wants us to be together. He wants us to have peace. And then, are you willing to lay down pride? Are you willing to be humble? This is where that other question to, are you too stubborn or not enough? I mean, do you need to be less stubborn? The less stubborn one kind of comes into this relationship stuff and this brokenness stuff and this and our pride, because that's where we usually dig our heels in, is when we're prideful about something. Would you agree with me on that or disagree? Agree? We dig our heels in. So, overall, how stubborn are you? How stubborn do you want to be? How stubborn do you need to be? We need to be more stubborn than the enemy. Question number 3. What fear or fears are you going to fight this year? I'm going to give you a second to think about that or write that down. What are you willing to lay down? If Jesus calls you into his presence and he tells you that you have freedom, what are you willing to lay down? Now, I will probably never go bungee jumping. You know, that's probably, you know, one of those fear things I'll probably never do. You know, because that's for me. Skydiving, no. Like, those things are not realistic for my life and for me. And so I want you to be realistic about these things. What is realistic for you? But also we need to be safe. So we don't want to, you know, touch the hot oven because we're fearful of, you know, getting burnt. You know, like we need to be realistic about these things, like, and sensible about them. Keep things in perspective. Okay? Let's not put something on that list that is like unrealistic. Yeah, time traveling, for instance, if Matthew, yeah. I'd love to transporter so I could go see my kids and then come back again. If you don't, half of you probably don't even watch Star Trek then, if you don't know what I mean. You do? Oh, okay, all right. Yeah. Thanks, Lynn. All right, what we want versus what God wants. So I know that there have been things that I've wanted, definitely would love $1 million. But is that what God wants for me? So I want you to take that question to him and find out what he wants and let him confirm it. He will always confirm things to you. He will confirm it in scripture. He might confirm it with people around you. He might open doors or close doors. But here's my disclaimer. There's nothing wrong with making mistakes. Sometimes we get it wrong. I've got it wrong many a times. I remember there was one time when I was breastfeeding and I got really bad infections and called mastitis. For the guys, you don't need to know that much about that. Okay, it was just a big infection. And I went, I'm sick of this. I'm going to ask God to heal me. So I'm healed. And I prayed and I didn't get better. I went to the doctors, and if you know anything about this type of infection, it can escalate very, very quickly. And the doctor gave me 2 penicillin injections in my leg, went for a weekend, came back on the Monday to see the doctor, and he put me in for emergency surgery, like within a couple of hours of seeing the doctor. Because I got really sick. But I believe, I was like, I believe, I have faith, I'm going to believe, I'm going to be healed. But that didn't happen. So I say, you can ask God for your healing. If it is something serious like that, an infection or medical, please. If you don't get instant healing, if you don't get your miraculous healing, go to your doctor. Get help. Don't leave things. Let's be really, really like sensible about this. You know, one of my family members, my mum's mum, she became a Christian. We got baptized. I was about 8 years old. We got baptized on the same day. No, I was probably 7 when I got baptized, because it was my 8th birthday, just before my 8th birthday, that she died. And she determined that God was going to heal her. She went off of her blood thinning medication. She had a brain aneurysm and died. And so we believe in supernatural healing. Yes? You with me? We believe in supernatural healing, but we also know that God has also given us doctors to help us with things. And we need to be sensible. We need to be practical. We need to also use our own sensibilities to make, you know, wise decisions with ourselves and our bodies. So if God is, you know, what God is telling you, sometimes it's going to stretch you and it's going to pull you out, but it's not going to harm you. All right. As you're going about your New Year's resolutions, or whether you're going about, you know, you've spent some time finding out what God wants for your life and for 2025, I want you to remember the 3 Ds. Discouragement, disillusionment, and division. And think about how stubborn you're going to be. We're going to keep on going with our theme. Jesus is working in us, for us, and through us. So he is, let's say together, he is, let's say me instead of you. He is for me, he is for me, he is for me.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.